Good morning, Oroville. Good morning, the whole wide world. This is Krishna McKenzie bringing you a road back to nature. Another Tuesday morning radio live. And today I have the pleasure of having Alok with me, who is Orovillian since forever. And he's been actually very, very freshly, we've started a garden in his place. It's a tiny bit over 3 weeks now. And it's quite exciting. So Alok, tell us about your place. Where is it in Oroville and what do you do there? And
well, my place is in Orashilpam, which is in the industrial zone of Oroville, northwestern part. And basically, I had a food processing unit there, processing Oroville cashews and packaging organic teas. And I've always been into the food sector because I believe Oroville has to become self-sufficient in its production and, especially with all the greens that we get from outside, we have to be independent of that. So 6 years ago, I started some research on hydroponics because I wanted to grow food more efficiently with using less water and space. And that project is going on. But, in the last couple of months, I've been to many communities that have wanted me to do water testing because one of the projects I'm doing is actually setting up a lab to test water and soil. So I've gone to several communities where you were growing, those circle gardens and they wanted their wastewater tested. So I saw that and seeing creativity and luminosity and other communities start this motivated me as well because I said, hey, I've got this space next to the greenhouse. It's not being used. And very easily we could achieve something. You know, the hydroponics is a long-term project, but after seeing those small circle gardens and how much effort people were putting, I said, let's try that. So 3 weeks ago we started.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many seedlings have come up. And
So we came to your place and we identified a few different areas, no?
Yes.
So first we found an area with the bananas and I think we composted it, no? That's what the first step was, composting it. And immediately we whacked in a bunch of pumpkins and bottle gourd. And I don't think I've seen anywhere the bottle gourd and pumpkin grow so fast. They're already like, I don't know, 20, 25 centimeters high in 3 weeks. Yeah. It's amazing.
I think the land was prepared over the years and it was actually ready for this to happen.
Right.
Yeah, because the bananas were there and I had only planted bananas, but I wanted to do something in between.
Mm.
And that place is ideal because it's under the electrical lines.
So you can't do anything else do anyway. Anything.
And the guys would come and chop all the other forest trees and stuff around. So I think it was a perfect spot to start.
Right.
With lots of sun. We had looked at the other spaces where there were trees.
A bit dark.
Yeah. So I feel like it was, even though it's happened very quickly, there were things that were building up over a period of time which allowed this to happen so fast, yeah?
Yeah.
One was also even my willingness to put in some effort and...
Yeah, and also, I mean, it sounds a bit negative, but you run your place. You're in charge of your place. You don't have to ask anyone, do you mind if we grow a pumpkin here? Or do you mind if we... I mean, that is really... it's sad to say, but that is really one of the factors as well.
It is. And I mean, it's only because it's not a community. I'm not living with many people there. And it's an industrial zone, so we can't really develop houses and build all that. But it's the ideal place to do farming because ultimately I want to reuse all the wastewater in the zone for that. And of course, there's a negative part. That, I mean, it's not really negative, but I don't have the obstacle of having people to include lots of people in decision making.
Yes.
But it's also land that is temporary, right?
Right.
There's proposed roads coming through.
Right.
It's like, and if you want to build anything, you have to get permission.
Mm.
And for farming, you don't need permission.
No, you just get on with it.
Yeah. So actually, you know, I think we should, we really should farm a lot of the land that are lying vacant and that are easy to maintain. So it's fenced off. There's water next door.
Yes.
There's a presence. I can go and check on it at night.
And you have a team engaged in other activities on your compound, in the food process, in the hydroponics, who you can bring in to help for half an hour here, an hour there, or if they're not doing anything, they can prepare mulch, no?
Exactly. And so there's no additional cost to actually doing this.
Right.
It's within the existing...
Running costs.
Your running costs. Mm. And the reason I've also jumped on this onto this bandwagon of, gardening like this is because... I see that it's basically like a low-lying fruit, which I don't have when one doesn't have to invest much.
So, low-lying fruit is a term, no? That you explained to me the other day. It means it's easy to access, it's easy to implement,
it's easy to grab and harvest and to manifest.
Right.
And you know, let's say in this last 3 weeks, whatever we have done, we've only spent less than 5,000 rupees.
Yeah.
2,500 for a load of compost. The rest was some seeds and some very little labor.
And now we have, I mean, just to give the listeners an idea of the land, I think we could say it's about 20 meters wide.
Yes.
By probably about 30 to 40 meters, 40 meters long.
Yes.
And already we have a bed of about, I'd say it's about 8 meters long, 1 meter wide, with the sweet potato, which is going so well. And there are a whole area with, as I say, pumpkins, bottle gourds that are coming up in between the bananas that we'd cut back because we had felt that they weren't healthy enough. We recomposted them and now they're growing really well. And we have lady's fingers, another huge bed of 8 meters of radish.
Right.
What else is there? There's amaranth. There's lady's finger. There's wing beans, which haven't yet germinated. And yesterday we started with snake gourd as well. So we're really, what I appreciated in it is the welcoming of a vision, which is really about diversity of nutrition. Because I always see you like, I mean, we know us now over 20 years. I always see you as someone who's very innovative and ready to try different things. And I see that these gardens that are emerging, they're actually going to become little hubs of importance, you know, nutritional hubs for areas in Oroville. They might only serve 5-10 families, but still those 5 or 10 families, a certain amount of their nutritional needs are going to be met super locally within a community. And I could imagine that radish bed, the sweet potato, the snake gourd, the lady's finger, cluster beans, whatever else you get going there. I could imagine 20 people getting a basket from you once a week. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. Because the thing is, this garden is, you know, going to produce much more than I would need for my own purpose. Most of the people are just growing for their own communities, but this is going to be a surplus for others.
Mm.
And of course, we're inviting others to come and also participate and work there. But it's... I think there's going to be an exchange going on, you know, where those who come and participate, they can take. If we want to, we can exchange in a certain way. If you need to supplement solitude baskets or something from
basket
here, you can take,
right,
you know, from here.
So you're actually exploring the potential of a new economy even in some ways.
For sure.
Something else may emerge. It's not already like, okay, I'm going to get this much money back. It's something completely different.
Actually, there's even no need to think about the money because, you know, it's already done within the existing costs.
Right.
And, you know, what was amazing yesterday was you had given me that list of seeds to get from Coote Road.
Mm.
And to be able to get a lot of the seeds locally in Coote Road, just from that lady sitting down at the corner of the road there and spend 280 rupees on seeds, right?
Mm.
That's it. And so it is a very local kind of process. There's not much involved in getting couriers from out of state with seeds.
Amazon.
Yeah,
exactly.
So actually, the hydroponics has been stuck in so many ways because I'm waiting for inputs from around India. right?
It's a much more. I mean, not to put it down. I've been pretty anti hydroponic, but since talking to you, I've sort of seeing it in a bit of another light. But the reality of it is, if we do compare the two, is the hydroponics is a high tech. Lot of inputs needed, no? Specific inputs, no?
Specific inputs, technical skills, and a large investment, right?
Right.
But once it's running, it's also going to be a local produce. Right?
Once it's going, there is an incredible value to it.
Yeah, and actually, it's something for the future. Like a lot of stuff in Oroville, we keep talking about the future, and we're working for the 50,000 people here.
Mm.
So there are two things we have to do. One is work towards the future, which is the hydroponics and allowing us to reduce the use of water.
Mm.
And the other is the immediate results in a month.
Right.
Actually, one thing that was very positive and what encouraged me to do this is to see that it was possible to do it before the monsoon.
Right.
I've always been hesitating, thinking that, oh, if I grow now, will it come up in time and will it drown? So with your weekly input, I realize that every week we can plant.
Yes.
And by monsoon, it'll all be up anyway, and we'll see what
manages. Some of the things will grow through the monsoon, and some of the things will be finished before the monsoon, like the amaranth or some of the lady's fingers. Right. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, for me, it's an eye-opener as well to work with different people, because I obviously understand the work that I'm excited by, engaged in different lights, because, of course, you have a slightly different perspective to someone in creativity. And I think all these different perspectives are so valuable, like how you were saying yesterday, you know exactly how much water you've used, how much money you've spent, how much time you've invested, and for you that it's completely sustainable it's not a huge cost like it's vague for you. You know exactly what you've spent, and at the end of the day you're like, yeah, it's no problem, because that's obviously what a lot of people are wondering: how much is it going to cost me, what do I get back, you know, what do I get out of it?
But ultimately I don't think with food we cannot calculate it like that, like we were saying. We're not going to calculate and say this is the value of that food that we're getting, because it's more nutritious and healthy, and it's helping our immune system.
And it has an ecological cost.
Yeah, there's low food miles, and you know the seed miles. Let's say the seed miles from Kut Road is very less compared to anything you order online, right?
Exactly, yes.
So there are all these other factors, but even on top of all that, it's not very expensive. So it's like you get all these bonuses. Yeah?
Yes.
So I'm also thrilled, because every week I'm excited about what's growing and what's coming up. So it's a research basically also to see how we can grow more in the lands that we're not cultivating.
And there are lots of them in Oroville, no?
In between houses, in between spaces. But because of the trees, we can do a lot under the trees. But there has to be a will, basically, and you have to spend 1 hour a day or so working on it. Right?
Yes. It's like we've moved that far away from nature. We have to reinvest with our time. But what do you think we can do? Like, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this when we've been at your land, but what could we do as a society, you know, as Oroville? Because, you know, both of us, we very much care, you know, that Oroville grows and Oroville is well and Oroville manifests in the direction of what the mother had envisaged. That's obviously what drives us. No, neither of us are here just to try and, you know, get rich or just to have an easy time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing all the things that we do. We're both very active people. So what could we do to bring this thing forward in our community, do you feel?
You know, I think basically, the way that we live is already making that difference, right? We're always available to teach others and to do that as a service, because everything that we learn here in Oroville, I believe we have to pass on, we have to share with others. I wouldn't have started all this if you were not going around to other places and I saw that, and that your willingness was there to come and spend 1 hour a week. Similarly, I have to be willing to give with my skills and time to others who want to learn from other things that I'm doing, right? Maybe with the water work and stuff like that.
Mm.
So we've got to be able to engage and actually share our knowledge, and which means that basically being available to, you know, whoever needs that, right? And taking away from maybe the time that we want to spend either with the family or on the beach or something else because somebody wants to learn something.
Give a little bit, like giving.
Teachers have spent so much time with us, right? And similarly, I think the spirit of sharing the knowledge is what is actually activating it. Seriously, the way to actually change Auroville is that of saying, "Hey, I'll teach you.
I'm giving.
Yeah, I'm giving you."
But there seems to be, like, I mean, I'm not trying to be too negative, but there seems to be like some, I mean, I don't want to say some people, but there seems to be some aspect of our sort of collective consciousness that doesn't want to know, you know, and that people don't really, they want to keep the status quo. And yet it seems to me that we can't afford to do that. You know, it's like you were saying yesterday, you know, like everyone wants to become engineers, but who is becoming farmers? Where will this knowledge has to stay alive? Like, so how do we deal with this sort of this inertia, you know, this sort of this energy where people, they don't want to change? Like, what do we do?
I would say we do more. we do more ourselves because by doing, the others are going to get surrounded by, you know, all sorts of action, right? And they will, you know, I think this whole crisis, this COVID and all, has come upon us to make us change, and we are changing in the way that we need to. And those who want to come along and make that change, they will. If they don't, it's going to come even harder on us, right?
But do you think there's something we could do, like, on an official level? Like, I mean, this is really a conversation. Yeah. Like, this, we might be having this next to the radish bed, you know, but now we're having it at the radio. Like, do you think there's something we could do, like the working committee or the Auroville Council makes a announcement, you know, like, for example, we've done the house at the government's, the secretary's house. Mm-hmm. We've done the garden there, beautiful vegetable garden in Aditi. Could it be like, you know, the government of India recognizes the importance of using land that's unused land for growing food. We strongly recommend all Aurovillians to start. Like, is there something official we could try and do?
You see, in India already, there's a push for agriculture. In states like Pondicherry, you cannot convert agricultural land to residential anymore, right? So it's already been there, and Tamil Nadu also has restricted that. Unfortunately, here in Auroville, very often we've not picked up on the big changes that are happening around India because we have a lot of luxury of land around. Yeah, for 3,000 people, we've got, you know, a couple of thousand acres of
land. That's amazing. No?
Yeah? So we've not had that pressure, right? But I think the awareness is coming that we've got to use resources more carefully and consciously. So it's happening, one, with groups like the water group, which are saying use less water for this or that, you know, and giving advice on that. And the next step has to come from, you know, I don't know, the farm group is not really existing there to give advice to the community, but it has to come from TDC and the planning authority for the city that says, okay, so much of the land should be used for cultivation and not just...
This old duality between all the green belters and the city people. That's just very childish, you know. That has to dissolve. That, I would say, even the growing of the food is not only the farmer's responsibility. Right. I mean, the farmer's obviously always going to have a major role in food production. But it's like it has to become a collective responsibility, you know. It's not like the green belters are here and I live in Citadine, no. It's like,
it has to be within the community, like, and not like having farms way out there. Like, Annapurna is fantastic with all the land it's got, and it can do rice. We can't do rice inside the city.
Yeah? No, yeah.
So we have to see the farm around us and then feel, you know, the see the plants growing and get the energy, and plus also be able to spend an hour there in the morning and work on the farm.
Be ready to give time.
Yeah, because I think also a lot of people want to work with the soil and, you know, in get their hands dirty.
Maybe, right? They just don't know quite how to make the step to start doing it, no?
If we have, many people used to go down to places like Buddha Garden and volunteer in the morning. Because they want to do that. Even now they're doing it.
Wonderful morning session.
So if we have more of that within the community and they just can walk across to a farm close by and participate, it would be a good way to to bring the farm closer. And you did that experiment in front of Town Hall also, right? You did,
yes. They unfortunately got closed down.
maybe it was not as photogenic as, you know.
Yeah.
Having a green lawn or something.
No, it was a water, actually. There was not enough water.
Okay.
Yeah, it was water.
Even with all the wastewater that's around?
No, there was not enough water. After they did all their watering, there was often not water.
But that's what's happening in even the communities, right? You're saying they're running out
of... Yeah, they're running out of water. Everyone's doing gardens, so they're running out of wastewater. No, there's a... I mean, it's a huge challenge, the water. I mean, firstly, of course, if we're going to use wastewater, it makes sense that everyone would shift to bioenzymes and natural soaps, no?
Right.
I mean, that's the most basic thing. You've got your lab. I've been told that it's like probably one of the best labs in south of India. Like it's like, so you're actually checking the quality of soil and water, no?
We're doing water, wastewater, soil and sludge.
Okay.
So we're just in the process of getting the NABL certification from Delhi.
Okay.
So it'll be...
What is that?
It's a National Accreditation Board of Laboratories.
Okay.
So it'll be a certified lab and we'll be an internationally certified lab.
Wow. Okay.
So we're not actually... It's being set up not just only for Auroville, but for the whole surrounding area and for Southeast Asia, basically. Anybody can courier us samples.
Wow.
And... my interest in that was actually to develop technologies to treat wastewater for farming.
Right.
Farming uses most of the water in the world.
Yes.
And the 80 to 90% of the wastewater in India is not being treated.
Right.
So it's an easy equation to make that we need to treat the wastewater and reuse it for farming.
Mm.
Imagine all the water that's there in Pondicherry, and if you know it gets treated to a certain level.
Exactly.
So, but to do all that work, you need to have precise data and know what's happening in the water. So
yes.
we need labs that are willing to do this.
Right.
And having a certified lab gives you a certain amount of confidence and precision in your results.
Yes. No, you need that confidence. Yeah. Definitely. That's what we've been lacking in the community garden project, is someone who really tell us clearly, like, about the grey water, how, and then you told us, as long as if it goes in a drip and doesn't touch the plants, then, I mean, that was a huge information that you gave us that day.
Yeah. If you're not watering the leaves with the wastewater, it's okay for orchards. And
right.
And most of the wastewater in Auroville doesn't have anything toxic in it.
Right. Yes.
It's just the soaps, basically. And
but I think what you were saying is, like, we have to wake up to the fact that we have incredible resources around us, the land, but also our wastewater is a resource.
Yes.
So if we would take that with a bit more, you know, affection, as though it's matter, no? That, and we would say, okay, well, we don't use any chemical soaps in Auroville. We use only bioenzymes. There's at least three or four or five people making bioenzymes, including Dr. Margarita. And there's other people making their own hand soaps. There's, I think, at least one, I don't know, factory making... soap, I think even more. Yeah. I mean, we're making soap as well at Solitude. And there's workshops to teach soap that we're giving.
Right.
So it's like this knowledge is just there for the taking. And we could know within a couple of years, we could say, imagine the statement in Auroville if we said, Auroville does not pollute water, period. You know, and then we use all our water back, as you're saying, no, for farming or for irrigation. I mean, what a statement, no? That, for me, that would be an example of consciousness.
Or transforming, not transformation, right?
Yes.
Transforming the matter to something much higher, right?
Yes.
Because ultimately, Mother was talking about all the consciousness in the cells and stuff, and that water is the best way to actually affect something.
Right.
Everything's got water in it. So if you change that little water, little key there, everything gets transformed. So it's... I mean, that's where I started and that's where I'm focused on. But working with the plants and soil, we're also going to keep adding amazing water to that process to show that these plants can actually produce even more and be happier if they get the right water.
Mm.
Right now, the water is what it is. We just take it from the borewell. But if we know that it's not right, we have to do something to correct it.
Mm.
So there's
you mean using vortexes and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, to energize it, yeah, to put it through sound or
that's
or
something else you've been working on. We hadn't mentioned that yet. You do this magical water treatment.
Yeah, that's a...
Your esoteric
but
branch.
But it's not just to do it for its own sake, but it's to apply it on plants and on the
to
food.
To see if it actually works.
I believe it works. But
have you done... Have you... Because like your hydroponics, you actually have a proof that on this scale... It works, and now you've upscaled. Have you actually done some proof with the water, the energizing the water, and
we actually with a colleague of mine, we did it in Spain.
Okay,
on some really large farms, and we saw the yield increase by 23%.
Really,
we saw it. It was very scientifically done. So,
and it was only that factor that changed.
It was only the factor of the water.
Okay.
So this is what actually made me, you know, come back here and like want to do all this with water research. So I see the change that we can make to matter and plants, no?
Right.
And with the soil also adding a lot to the soil, because if you have the right type of water in the soil, the uptake of all the nutrients is easier for the plants. So
right.
It's but anyway, we will keep working on that.
Yeah,
research.
This is another discussion. Yeah. It's very interesting, though. You know, it's what's fascinating is to see how many angles there are to explore on this this subject.
But maybe this is why also this plot of land and the farm is growing much better than some other place or faster than other places is because the borewell that we have there. The water is really amazing.
Oh, really?
You can drink it directly. There's,
okay.
Because I've tested it many times.
Okay.
And it's just perfect. It doesn't have any microbes in it. It's like, it's very sweet. So if you're aware of what you're putting in, it really helps to actually speed up the process of, you know, getting the results out. If you're putting water that's not so easy for plants to absorb, then it'll take more time. Right. So... it's been, I think the combination of a lot of these things are actually helping this little plot of land to give back.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it's only 3 weeks old, but it's going to go really fast. And I'll be very excited to see photos and videos in the next, we'll put some up on YouTube in the next week. And, thank you so much for coming and sharing with me this morning, Alok.
You're welcome.
And good luck with that land. And if someone wants to come and have a look and come and give you a hand, Mondays 4 to 6.
That's right.
You're working on that land.
Yep.
And it's out past Oro Mode, past CSR, past... towards discipline,
opposite,
though.
Opposite discipline.
Opposite discipline on the left. And it's really nice. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And I look forward to meeting y'all next week. Have a lovely day.
Enna kaada maati vecha vanakkam. நீலமே நழுதா கரைக்கொரு தகவலும் வருவதில்லை. எனக்குள்ள நான் நழுதா துடைக்கவே எனக்கு ஒரு நாதி இல்லை. என் கண்ணீர் ஒவ்வொரு சொட்டும் வைரம் வைரமாகுமே. சபதம் சபதம் என்றே சலங்கை சலங்கை பாடுமே. மனமே மனமே சபதம் வெல்லும் மட்டும் சாராதீர் விழியே விழியே இமையே தீயும் போதும் கலங்காதீர். நதி நதி அத்தனையும் கடல சங்கமம் நட்சத்திர மத்தனையும் பகலில் சங்கமம் அலைகளின் வெகுமதி உன்னிடத்தில் சங்கமம் சங்கமம் மழைத்துளி மழைத்துளி மண்ணில் சங்கமம் உயிர் துளி உயிர் துளி வானில் சங்கமம் உடல் பொருள் அவையலம் கலையில் சங்கமம் சங்கமம் அலான கண்டா அடலுக்கு தாப்பா வணக்கம்
மழைக்காகத்தான் மேகம் அடகலைக்காகத்தான் நீயும் உயிர் கலந்தாடுவோம் நாளும் மகனேவா. நீ சொந்த காலிலே நில்லு தலை சுற்றும் பூமியை வெல்லு இது அப்பன் சொல்லிய சொல்லு மகனேவா. பறவையும் அழகறியாது போர்க்களம் நீ புகும்போது புல் தைப்பது காலறியாது மகனே மகனே. காத்துக்கு ஓய்வந்ததேது அடையேது கலைக்கொரு தோல்வி கிடையாது கிடையாது கிடையாது. என் காலுக்கு சலங்கையிட்ட உன் காலடிக்கு முதல்